God, everything is possible. With God, everything is possible. Nathaniel Chang Deutsch, Nathaniel Chang Deutsch. With God, everything is possible.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I remember feeling this way about one of the bands that I was in. Like when we started getting gigs, I was like, this is it. This is the moment.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't even be talking about this because I never went on stage unless I was totally inebriated.
You fell off?
I fell off a stage. I was so inebriated. Sunny side up!
You thought they were going to catch you, but they didn't.
Dying on the floor!
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my alien friend, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you, aliens out there in the podcast universe. How are you doing? Thank you for joining us. We are here yet again. And the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round. Round and round, and Brian and Chrissy never shut the fuck up.
Until they fall off. Until the wheels fall off.
Until the contract comes to an end. Yeah. I'm going to renegotiate that contract of one day a week. But if we're not making money now, we certainly won't be making money if we go to one day a week. Anyway, thanks for being here. Certainly appreciate it. I was just on the Instas. And I do have to let you know that the 90s, like we were talking about, the 90s, early 2000s resurgence of new metal and prog rock or whatever you call it, you know, hard rock or whatever, continues on my Instagram algorithm as I just saw a reel with Limp Bizkit and Ed Sheeran singing a song together. Because little known fact, Ed Sheeran has a Limp Bizkit tattoo. That is how much Ed Sheeran loves Limp Bizkit.
Whoa.
And Limp Bizkit is back. I mean, they are playing. I saw this video where they were playing down in Rio or something, Brazil or some South American venue. And there were, no shit, tens of thousands of people bouncing up and down like it was Woodstock 99. It was insane how many people were getting into Limp Bizkit. I mean, and listen, I ain't hating. Whatever. Cool. You like Limp Bizkit, you like Limp Bizkit. Was never my thing, but if you like it, you like it. But what a
that
weird...
Woodstock 99 thing, too. Did not cast them in a good light, that documentary.
No. Well, I mean, okay, so let's get into it. So the producers of the show, in their infinite wisdom, this asshat who was a part of the Michael, whatever his name is, who was a part of the original Woodstock, then Woodstock 94, then Woodstock 99, always looking to make a dollar. And listen, that he was always about that even back in 1969. He was the same way from day one. It wasn't like the guy changed or sold out or anything. He wanted to make $1 billion off of Woodstock 69. People just came and they broke down the fences, and then he had a problem on his hands, and him and other people made it safe enough that people survived the weekend, yeah. I guess. And a lot of people were born from that weekend too. Mm-hmm. But in Woodstock 99, it was just a terrible event, terribly set up, terribly staffed, terrible planning. And then they put a really weird mix of music up there. Limp Bizkit was toward the end of, I think, Saturday or whatever it was. They were toward the end of Saturday. And one of the producers of the show, sensing smartly that things were getting out of control, said, you got to calm them down, Fred, right? You got to, like, you know, talk to them. Like, stop. People are getting hurt out there. It's getting a little bit crazy. And he
Fred
did the
Durst,
Fred
right?
Durst.
Yeah.
And he did the exact opposite.
Yeah.
He got them riled up. And I mean, in a way that is clear when you watch the video footage from MTV of that day. That's really when shit got sideways, is after Limp Bizkit. According to Fred Durst in one of the documentaries, he says, hey, listen, they told me to go on there and put on a show. And I put on a show. That's what I did. You know, you can't fault me for putting on a show. But, you know.
Yeah. No, things definitely went sideways.
I don't know. Moby emergency exited Woodstock 99. That's all you got to know about Woodstock 99. He literally closed his set early and said, we got to get out of here. That was it. He was like, there was too many guys touching too many boobs and people were just out of control. Yeah. And he was like, I don't want to be any part of it. I don't want to be a part of the scene. That was Moby. When is Moby going to get his moment? I'm waiting
it's
for
coming.
Moby. It's coming.
It
you know
is
it
coming.
Is. Yeah, we're gonna have to hear that 26-minute song he did over and over and over again.
It'll be remixed.
That's right. Dave Matthews Band also with DMB. One of the and the reason why I bring this up is because I got a weird phone call from a text message from a friend I had not seen in a long time. And he's a bartender, and some of my family members' brothers go up there and they see him on occasion, but I haven't seen him in a while. And he says, hey, DMB in town, 2 miles down the street from my house, literally as the crow flies, 2 miles down the street from my house. They're coming. And you know what I would like to do? I would like to drive to your house and park my car on your driveway, and then I will come back, take an Uber to the event, and then I will Uber back and grab my car. And I thought to myself, you are a brother forever. You're welcome to do whatever it is you need to do. You ain't bothering me by leaving your car in my driveway. However, what is the thinking behind leaving your car it's 2 miles from the venue and then driving
home it
anyway?
Home, yeah.
Like, I'm going to leave my car there overnight, come pick it back up the next day because I know I'm going to get loaded.
That makes sense.
Yes.
But
so weird. It was so
weird.
Yeah,
they were just in town.
Yeah, they were just
did
in town.
Did he do it?
He did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did it. I saw the car out there. He actually texted me when he got here. He's like, hey, man, you know, come out here and say hello. And I was full on in the middle of crazy town here in the house. So I thought to myself,
it was the witching hour,
or maybe I wasn't home. I can't remember what it was, but I think it was the witching hour. And I was like, listen, I can't but have a good time at DMV.
Be safe driving home.
Be safe driving all those little ants
after
marching
your
ass home. Yes. I mean, DMV never really my thing. Like, it was, I never got into it as much as a lot of the people in my circle
of friends
did. I was
huge into them when they first came out.
Oh, you were?
Oh, yeah.
Ants marching?
It was hot.
You were hot?
It was hot.
Oh, you were?
The music
was
hot.
Yes. I think here in the Southeast especially, they had like some grip over people. Widespread panic. Phish, to a certain degree. Phish wasn't like the Southeast thing necessarily. Widespread panic. Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah, I was in high school, so, and it was, all my friends loved him. We all went to the shows.
Yeah. I remember there was like this cheerleader that I was dating in high school, and she loved Dave Matthews Band, and so I think that turned me off to it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was too poppy, you know?
Yeah, poppy commercially.
I'm the man in the box. Be reading my shit.
Oh, I got into all that, too.
Oh, man, that was great, dude. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. I'm all here to snuff the rooster. Oh, yeah. My parents were like, what? I remember my dad one time.
What?
Yeah. On the few occasions, which was like once a year, that we got to choose the radio station on the drive to school. I mean, it happened so rarely, right? And I put it on this station here, 99X. And, you know, famous, go down in history kind of station. One of the first stations to ever play the song Nevermind by Nirvana. And so he let us pick it. I never forget. Like, Man on the Box came on. It was like, or no, not Man on the Box, Rooster. It was like, oh, he's come to snuff the rooster. Oh, yeah. And my dad was like, what? And we're all singing along. My brother and I are singing along. And he's like, why are they killing the rooster? And I was like, I don't know, Dad. I think it has something to do with Vietnam. And he's like, we didn't kill roosters. And I go, did you go to Vietnam? No, but I thought about it. Yeah, it was kind of a weird time. But DMB is still around, still
kicking.
They
are. They are. They just filled a big, well, your friend was going.
Yeah, they filled it. They filled it. They do. They fill it.
Yeah.
I think at one time, Dave Matthews Band was one of the highest grossing concert tours for like years. For years.
And then that's when they dumped the shit over the bridge.
That's when they pooped on Chicago.
Chicago.
That's the craziest fucking story. I love it so much. I know it probably wasn't pleasant to the people who experienced it, but to me, it's pretty funny. And probably to the rest of the world. It's almost like a joke that couldn't be true, right? The tour bus driver.
Yeah, it was like national news at the time, too.
The bridge where this happened is in downtown Chicago. A well-trafficked, very congested bridge. People driving back and forth. Middle of the day, tour driver not only stops on the bridge, but then dumps the shit over the side of the bridge into the Chicago River, where just so happens, just so happens, pure luck, there's a tour boat driving right under the bridge and shit flies everywhere. But hey, at least you got Dave Matthews.
You got close to Dave.
You got a DMB dump. I'd save that shit, get it signed. I'd save that, literally that shit, get it signed.
Oh, you know, I'm sure somebody did.
Oh, somebody's out there. But I showed Chrissy a reel the other day, probably because I was texting about Dave Matthews Band. Then I got served up a bunch of Dave Matthews Band content on Instagram. And there was a reel where I think it may have been from the show here in Atlanta. Dave Matthews, all in black, long sleeve shirt, full jeans or whatever he's wearing. And he's full on dad bod, no shade. I am full on dad bod too. I'm just giving you a description. Full on dad bod, sticky shirt, like shirt sticking to him, drenched in sweat.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting down.
He was dancing, and even that dad bod, that belly bouncing up and down, sweat flying off him in the lights, and people were going fucking nuts.
They
were
like, into it.
We're not dead yet. Yeah, somebody in our age group can actually still dance.
Hard.
Hard, yeah. I do the DMB dance, too. I think the DMB dance is my favorite. I've been to a few DMB.
You do, like, your feet.
Yeah, you shuffle your feet.
Yeah.
You just shuffle them back and forth, or maybe you spin around once, and then you do this with your hand. They make little wavy motions.
Yes.
Like this. That's the white man's dance. Any Widespread Panic, Grateful Dead, any of those, jammy bands, you're going to see that white man dance, and it's a thing. It's a sight to behold. It really is a sight to behold.
It's an art.
I was watching, so The Dead has been at the Sphere,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Out there in Vegas, and apparently it's...
It looks amazing.
It does look amazing.
Have you seen any of those videos that people are showing of just the visual stuff inside? There's incredible.
I know. I saw the one. So imagine that. So The Sphere, for those of you that have been living underground, The Sphere is that big half circle in the middle of Las Vegas. It's the most advanced state-of-the-art theater ever built. Like 4,000 independent speakers, a screen that fills
the
half,
whole thing.
Almost the entirety of this half dome. And then some of these bands like Fish, U2, now Grateful Dead or The Dead, they have put these huge productions on, made videos just for this screen, because you can't use just a regular video. It's got to be a video that fills the screen in high definition. And apparently when you're there, it feels like one of the scenes that I saw was, imagine that you walk into the Sphere and all you see is like rigging and rafters, as if the screen had been pulled back and it was just the metal behind the screen.
Uh-huh.
So when you walk into the Sphere, that's all it is. So it appears as if the screen has been taken down. It just looks like rafters, right? Rafters and speakers and stuff like that. Well, at some point when they start playing, it splits open in that lightning way, that lightning symbol they have.
Yeah.
It splits open with a lightning crack in the middle, and you're at Haight-Ashbury.
That's so cool.
Near the house where the Grateful Dead originally formed. And then you fly up into outer space over the course of a couple minutes. You go through Haight-Ashbury, then you fly up. And even watching the video that's being taken by somebody that's inside of the Sphere felt like you were actually flying on my tiny little screen.
Really wild.
Yeah. I should probably, stop taking so many gummies at night. But anyway, that was so fascinating.
I think the Eagles, that makes sense for like bands to me, like Fish and Grateful Dead, to do all of these cool visual stuff. But I think the Eagles are next. I wonder what they're going to do.
I don't get it.
I wonder how they're
going
to do it.
Not buying into it. Like, I like the Eagles. Fine. They have a couple of great songs.
Fine. Yeah.
They're going to go down in history as one of the most popular rock bands of their generation, maybe any generation, right? The Eagles were superstars through and through. Still are today. And Don Henley, I like a lot. I think he's a great songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't.
But.
There's always a but with Brian. But. I blow it up your ass, and then I punch you in the balls. They've had so many goodbye tours now.
I know.
They're on like their 30th goodbye tour.
Why do people even do that anymore, farewell tour? Just don't say it.
I know. I got to imagine somewhere.
At least half. Come back.
At least half, if not all of them. I just read an article the other day. Fleetwood Mac, we will never tour again now that McVie has passed away. We're never going to tour again. Can't do it without her. Wouldn't do it without her. I guarantee you that the Sphere or somebody is going to put a bunch of money on the table, and they're going to be back playing together. Mm-hmm. And not that I wouldn't. I probably would. If Chrissy and I had been off air for a number of years and someone said, do another year of the commercial break, and here's $10. I would be like, yeah, all right. That tracks. That's about what we were making.
We can't turn that down.
You can't turn that down. But I get it. Like, when you have a juicy pile of money and you love what you do.
Right.
Right? And you say
it makes sense. Just don't say it's goodbye. Don't say it's goodbye.
So anyway, Eagles are on their like 50th farewell tour. I swear to God, they've been doing this forever. And the thing is that they call it the farewell tour, but they just never stop touring. So they tour and then they tour again under the same name, and then they tour again. So they've been on the farewell tour for like 15 years. And as much as I can appreciate that people like the Eagles, I don't get the Sphere. I don't get playing at the Sphere. Like, are those songs going to lend themselves to all of that drama?
I don't know.
When you go to the Sphere, my opinion is, it's brand new and there's only a few bands that have played there. But when you go to the Sphere, my opinion is you're going there for the spectacle and the music. Mm-hmm. But the band may not be the focus, mm-hmm. right? Like if you go to the Grateful Dead, okay, we know there's John Mayer and Bob Weir and they're doing their thing. Yeah, I'm going to look at them. Great, wonderful. But usually you're staring at a screen where you see the band. But in this case, the visuals are so large and make the band look so small that it's really about the music plus the visuals.
It is.
And I just
the whole experience.
Yeah. And so the Grateful Dead makes absolute sense. Yes. Everyone's out of their fucking minds, right? Fish makes sense. Most people are out of their fucking minds. you know, you two don't get it, but apparently it was a good show. Everyone went and saw it. I guess if you have a good audio video visual guy, like you got a good team behind you.
Oh, yeah, you have to. Yeah.
And you know the Eagles are probably, or the Sphere, whoever handles that, is going to spend some money making sure that they, at least people have a good time.
Do you think there'll be a visual of the Hotel California?
Chrissy, I was just thinking the same thing.
Or of Don Henley in a Mustang convertible.
I saw a deadhead sticker on a Sphere today. Yes, you know all that stuff. You know.
Yes.
It's going to be all tropey bullshit. You know it's coming. But I guess they're playing to a certain crowd that will enjoy it. There's Eagles fans out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know they're going to sell out. Mm-hmm. And my guess is, you know, Grateful Dead said last year, final show. Love y'all. We may come back to do special events, but we're not touring anymore. That's it. And they did 15 nights at the Sphere.
Oh, they're doing more than that.
Oh, yeah, 21 or something. Now they added crazy. Like December yeah. shows, didn't they?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, no, I think they added August shows.
Oh, they added August shows? Okay, so they're just going to keep on doing. This is going to be the farewell tour that never ends. And I guess as long as you still got fans that enjoy it, why not?
Yeah, people love it still.
And hey, listen, yeah, I'm not throwing shade. I like the Grateful Dead. I went and saw them when they came. I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought John Mayer did a great job.
He does.
I can appreciate it. And so I'm watching the reels of, you know, everybody dancing. But here's what I have to say. There is no white man dance like a Grateful Dead white man dance. Or white woman dance should probably be the right term for that. All the spinning that goes on and all the, you know, all the hand waving and the head bopping and all that. It's just...
Everybody's dancing to their own beat.
Yeah. I mean, there's video of me out there somewhere at some shitty show. Yeah, listen, I do it too. You can't help. It's infectious, actually. Yeah. Once you see people just being free and spinning around and waving their hands in the air like they don't care. And then you realize everyone is just as fucked up as I am. So you're no embarrassment here.
No.
It's like when I went to that Billy Joel concert at Truist Park. Place is packed. And there is some lady is just in the...
People get crazy at Billy Joel.
Crazy.
Crazy. Like way too much pre-partying.
Way too much. And these people are in like their late 60s. These white women in their late 60s that came from, you know, the poshiest parts of Atlanta. And they are slathered in drugs and alcohol. And they're like...
My sister went to a show and somebody fell off like the balcony.
Oh, really?
Yes. They were so... Billy! Oh, my God.
New York State of Mind! I mean, God bless. I hope the person was okay.
Yeah, they were okay. But yeah, right. It was a whole thing.
It was. I bet it was. I bet it was. That's a showstopper. Somebody fell from the fifth floor. I guess we had to stop. But Billy is good. He is good at what he does. Yeah, he sold out Madison Square Garden, what, like 500 times in a row?
Yeah,
farewell,
I think he's done, right?
With Madison Square Garden.
Okay,
yeah.
Just that.
Yeah, because he had a contract with them that he couldn't play anywhere else in the area for whatever it was.
So he was doing a residency.
Yeah, he did it for like a decade.
Yeah, he did.
He was like 100 shows a year or something, 50 shows a year or something like that.
Yeah.
Sold out every single one of them.
Every time.
That's insane. That's insane. We'll be lucky if we can sell out, you know, 500 seats in Tampa.
Yeah. I don't even think it's 500. I think it's 50.
I hope so. This is a situation where I hope the venue is literally like a closet with two chairs.
Yes.
Yes. I'll be doing the show to Christina and Tina. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll be back with more fun and shenanigans here at the commercial break.
DMV.
More DMV talk right after this. People are like, what the fuck is he talking about? Because Dave Matthews may not be a... Yeah, whatever. Anyway, we'll be back.
Hi. No, you're not dreaming. And yes, this is a new promo. See, I made you wait, and now look how happy you are. I know you're smiling. Anyway, since we're here, why don't you just hop on over to Instagram and give us a follow at The Commercial Break. Seriously, please, it's getting hard for me to listen to Brian and Chrissy beg. So just follow us on Instagram. Again, that's at The Commercial Break. You can also follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And of course, you know where to go for all things TCB. That is TCBpodcast.com, baby. And of course, you can always text us or call us and leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3TCB. Yep, that phone number is no longer new, but it is still around, and that's a win. 212-433-3TCB. Love you, bye.
All right, I'm going to take a look at this video. Hold on one second. It was sent in our group. Hold on. Justin Timberlake. Yeah, wow.
The eyes.
Yeah. That is pretty insane. Okay, so we're talking about this video that's going around TikTok and Instagram of Justin Timberlake. And there's a larger plot here, I think, so follow me. Justin Timberlake, of course, arrested in the Hamptons for DWI. He claims he wasn't drinking. He wasn't drunk. He just didn't want to take the sobriety test. The police officer, who didn't even know who Justin Timberlake was, he was like a 21-year-old police officer, apparently is notorious around town for being a stickler for the rules of the road. So Justin rolled through a stop sign. He pulled him over. He asked him to do a field sobriety test. Based on those field sobriety tests, he made the assumption or the conclusion that Justin was inebriated in some way. And he said, will you take a breathalyzer test? No, I won't. Will you submit to blood test? No, I won't. Which is a pretty classic.
Yeah, I was going to say that's what they always.
Yeah, the lawyers will always tell you don't do it. But what you don't know, and that I learned the hard way,
they
is
take
that
you directly to jail.
They take you directly to jail, and you are assumed to be guilty at that point. So in the court of law, if you refuse, at least in the state of Georgia, if you refuse to take the sobriety test, the breathalyzer or the blood test, if you refuse to submit to those, then you will be assumed guilty. Okay, so now everybody comes out, and now there's all kind of stories resurfacing about how Justin may or may not have a problem with alcohol. I'm not here to make that judgment. I don't know. God bless him if he has a problem with alcohol, hope he gets help. But everyone has jumped on the bandwagon now, and they are all pulling out old videos and old clips of Justin when what they think is some version of inebriated. And for the most part, I think a lot of it is just a bunch of hubbaloo. But this particular video that's going around, he looks pretty fucked up in that video.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Actually, I do know. As a guy who's has been there many times, has been in that state of mind many times, it appears that he is fucked up. Now, that's just my own personal take on this issue. And I got nothing against Justin except a bunch of things that we'll talk about later. But but normally I would say, okay, how could you ever know that, right? For real. Like, how could you ever make the firm conclusion on a video from 6 months ago where Justin may or may not be inebriated? People are just, this is just a bunch of conjecture. Until I saw 2 days ago on TMZ, what I call a water hose piece, put out the fire. Clearly a PR paid for piece on TMZ. Didn't say sponsored, but we can all make an assumption about how this goes. TMZ put out a piece addressing the video specifically where they say sources close to Justin say that there's sources, quote unquote, close to Justin claim that he never drinks or drugs before a concert, that he takes his responsibility to the audience very seriously. He's there to put on the best show. And what you're seeing is just Justin mid-concert, you know, having his moment, or, you know, the bloodshot eyes are because he's been, and he's on tour and he's tired or whatever.
I did get to a show years ago of his and it was really good. That's the only thing I have to say.
Okay, there you go. Chrissy has weighed in. Really good.
It was really good. Timbaland spun at halftime or set break. We had a great time, but I was not in the, you know, in the front.
Yeah.
So these people were taking a video from the front.
Okay.
And it really showed clearly that his eyes were very red.
Oh, really? Yeah. This video. That, yeah. Oh, yeah. His eyes are way red and they're huge.
Yeah.
Like they're bulging out of his head. Okay, I don't know every bit of Justin. I don't know him all that well as an artist. I didn't pay attention to his career. I only know that he dated Britney. He was in NSYNC, and he's been in the spotlight. But I got to tell you, by putting out this piece in TMZ, where clearly Harvey or whoever at TMZ was asked by somebody to say this out loud, whether or not they paid for it, I don't know how all that works. I don't know. But it appears that TMZ is putting this piece out as some kind of affirmation, some kind of, you know, counterpoint to the drunk narrative. And that makes me believe, no doubt, Justin may be drinking or drugging before shows. People have called him out, and now they're trying to cut it at the root by putting out this piece. Why else would you put out that piece? Why else would you say that? It seemed like a very weird and out-of-place story to just be there, but this is not unusual for some of these rags, right? They do this. They play the game. They play footsie with PR agents so that they get, you know,
stories
and treatment
exclusives.
And all this other stuff. And so that made me really suspicious about this. I was like,
I can't believe you're suspicious of TMZ.
Such a bastion of free press.
All right. Yeah. NPR,
yeah.
TMZ.
Yeah.
They go hand in hand.
It is really a very
Associated Press.
Yeah.
They're up there.
Associated Press, TMZ. And I got nothing against
Reuters.
TMZ. Yeah. I got nothing against TMZ personally. I understand this is what they do. But at the end of the day, I just think this all leads to a big circle.
Sure.
It's a very interesting way to go, a very interesting tact to take for this particular story. If I was Justin's PR team and he really wasn't inebriated and he really nothing to worry about, there's nothing at the bottom of that story, I'm just letting it ride. Who fucking cares?
Well, that's
okay, you think I'm drunk. Whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing because it's going to be another scandal tomorrow with somebody else. So,
yeah,
lay low, do your concerts.
Have you ever been to a concert where you
was inebriated?
Have you ever not been to a concert where you were inebriated, Chrissy?
Yes.
Have you ever been to a concert where you felt like the artist may have been in an altered state of mind, affecting their performance in some way, shape, or form?
That's a good question. I'm sure along the way, I've been to enough concerts.
Yeah.
I can't think of one in specifically. Do you?
Yes.
You do.
Yes,
of course.
I do.
You wouldn't have asked.
I wouldn't have asked if I didn't have a great story about it.
I know.
I just ask you questions so I can just feed my own bullshit back to you. There's a pattern here, guys. Pay attention. No, I was really interested to know if you'd actually seen
I can't.
Anyone.
I know that I have before, but I can't. There's nothing that stands out.
Do you think any of those jam bands, like back in their early days, I'm sure?
Yeah.
You know, one time, Sonny, who is the Congo player for Widespread Panic, you know, I saw him at an Athens bottle shop one time, and he was stacking up. The guy had like a grocery cart that he was pushing around full of alcohol. Now, I don't think he was inebriated at that moment, but he was there. The person I was with identified him because, you know, I wasn't all that into Widespread Panic, identified him and stopped and talked. But he was, man, was he loading up? He was having a party of some nature.
Yeah.
I do believe, and I'm almost reluctant to say the name because I hope I'm not like disparaging somebody where it's just not true. But I do remember going to a Candlebox concert.
Oh, Candlebox.
At like the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, which is a weird place to see a concert.
Yeah,
like this.
It is. I've seen a few there.
Yeah, it's not the place you want to go to see a concert. It's very stodgy and it's for the symphony. It's not for a Candlebox.
And it feels like you should be at the symphony.
Yes, the seats are very nice. There's very nice carpeting, the lighting on the wall, there's drapery. I mean, when there's drapery and Candlebox, it just doesn't mix. But my, and I just remember the place being very half empty and me not feeling like me getting a sense of disappointment about the fact that there weren't a lot of people at this show. And I only knew one of their songs or two of their songs, maybe. And I'd gotten the ticket from this girl that I was dating. We went together. But I do remember that not only was the singer of Candlebox in some state of mind, and it was, to in my opinion, altering the show's, altering his performance. I've now seen many live videos from Candlebox, and maybe it didn't alter his performance, and maybe he just wasn't that great of a live singer. But also, one of the guitar players was literally stumbling around the stage. I mean, stumbling around the stage.
Oh, obvious. Yeah.
It was obvious, right? It was that something was going on. I don't know what that was, but something was going on. And I thought to myself, wow, you know.
They were drowning their sorrows for being at a half-empty symphony hall.
You can't blame them. You really can't blame them. I mean, honestly, it's got to be kind of miserable if you go on, if you got that one hit that everybody knows and you're hot to trot, you know, and you think this is your moment. This is it. This is happening. I'm all here. I remember feeling this way about one of the bands that I was in. Like when we started getting gigs, I was like, this is it. This is the moment.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't even be talking about this because I never went on stage unless I was totally inebriated.
You fell off the
stage. I fell off a stage. I was so inebriated. Sunny side up!
You thought they were going to catch you, but they didn't.
Dying on the floor! but you got to like put yourself in the head of somebody who probably thinks this is the moment. We did it. We got a song on MTV, all over the radio. We're the it band of the moment. And then in that moment, you can't even put 1,000 people into the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. Yeah. It's got to be a little bit defeating. Like you got to feel a sense of
deflating
and sadness around that. Oh shit, man. I guess we're not making it. I guess we didn't do it.
There's always time, Candlebox, because there's a whole resurgence.
Where is Candlebox?
Yeah, where
that's the question. Is Candlebox even still? Is Candlebox on a farewell tour? There's the question. Let me see. Let me do this Candlebox band tour. Oh, are they on tour? They are on tour.
Oh,
no way.
See?
Coming to Atlanta. No way.
To the symphony orchestra?
To Chastain.
Oh, to Chastain.
Go figure.
Okay.
Limited seats available, as they always are.
They always say that.
Yeah, they're always limited available. Wow. Well, you know what? I put my foot directly into my mouth, Candlebox. I mean, Chastain is better than the Symphony Orchestra, that's for sure.
It is. That, Chastain's fun.
Chastain is fun. That's like Chastain, for those of you who don't live here. Chastain Park is in Buckhead, like one of the ritziest parts of Atlanta. It's a very nice park. It's got a golf course and a pool, and it's kind of like a country
horse
club.
Stables.
Like horse stables. It's a public country club, basically, is what it is.
Yeah.
It's very well manicured. It's very well taken care of. And all the, you know, it's the fancy place to go take a walk, basically. It's a place. It's like, I don't know what the comparison is in LA or New York, but the nice part of Central Park. It's a show. Everyone goes there. They're all dressed in their workout Lululemons and all that. And, you know, carrying their Stanley Cups.
There's little cafes and things. And they've got an amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
Yes.
Tiny little amphitheater. Probably sits 3,000 people. Maybe 3,000, maybe 2,500. And that's where they put like the softer side of the rock thing. But, you know, bands like Widespread Panic have played Chastain before. But that's not a typical Widespread. That's not a typical band for Chastain. Chastain is like the low-key, low-brow. Indigo Girls. Counting Crows. Who else? Paul Simon. That's like the type of person that would play Chastain, right? So to see Candlebox there,
it's
must
out,
be
people can
event.
Bring in like picnics and things like that. You
oh
can
yeah,
bring
yeah,
in
yeah, yeah.
All the little food and drink, your bottle of wine and tea sandwiches. Hummus.
Yeah, here's the weirdest thing about Chastain is that there are certain places in Atlanta where you can go and they will literally have your picnic ready for you when you show up. They have picnic tables in the front. And I mean picnic tables, like tables you sit at during the show and you sit. And they will come and they will put a tablecloth. They will have real silverware. They will have a like an actual picnic basket right there full of whatever. And I won't forget, soon forget, that one of the first concerts I guess I went to was a 4th of July like symphony orchestra plus fireworks down in Chastain, and my dad got some local establishment to bring stuff to Chastain and set it up for us. And I thought that was just the cat's meow.
I
thought that was the coolest thing ever. I was like, wow, we get to sit, we get to eat. My dad decided to spend some actual money and have this catered. That's crazy. Maybe you and I should go see Candlebox.
I think we should.
Should we go see Candlebox? Like, just that one song that they sang? We can figure it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got to
get the picnic.
Let's get a table. Let's get a picnic. And let's do like a double date at Candlebox.
Yes.
Candlebox with our picnic box. Let's get some good food, some wine, and then, hey, yeah.
Maybe.
And you left me far behind.
Love it.
I do love it too. I think I like this idea. I can promise you, we'll probably be one of the few people in the amphitheater.
And know it?
Yeah. Do you think there's a demand for like
in Atlanta?
There must be. You can't just rent out Chastain for shits and giggles, right? There's got to be a vetting process there.
Yes, there is.
And who let Candlebox in the door? Like, wouldn't Candlebox be better? I don't know, somewhere like the 40 Watt Club in Athens,
or
Underground Atlanta, or something like that. Yeah. Hell and the Masquerade.
That's right.
Somewhere, right? I don't know. Get Chastain. It just goes to show you, everyone, everything old is new again in some way, shape, or form. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break, and then we'll be back, and I'll think of more Candlebox songs I can sing to you. We'll be back.
What's up, haters? Now let's get down to business. If you've got something to say, say it to our faces. And by that, I mean, text us or call us at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can and should also find us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast, unless you want to fight me, in which case don't. And if you're just desperate to see our shining faces in person, keep your ears peeled for ticketing information about TCB Live. As always, don't forget that you can find everything you could possibly need to find on our beautiful website, tcbpodcast.com. Bye.
Okay, listen.
I'm listening.
Bush, Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains, the guitarist from Alice in Chains, and Candlebox. That's the combination.
I figured they were going to combo it.
Yeah. It's on my birthday.
Oh.
Well, day before my birthday. Excuse me. It's on my birthday. Day before my birthday. Tickets are, as expected, pretty cheap, actually. We can get a little table for like $175.
Wow.
A piece?
Wow, that's just changed.
No, that's on one of those ticket broker sites. We can probably go get them at Evil Ticketmaster for less money. But that's insane. Who knew?
Well, it's an idea.
Who knew that Bush was still around?
I know.
I'm just having all these revelations. They're having their moment in the sun.
And they are.
Every old dog has, you know, sunshine. What is that? A new ass in the sun or something like that. I don't know.
What was that thing where you bleach, you know, well, you don't bleach your ass, but.
You do. You bleach your ass.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
But then there's also where you sun it naked, you know, point it to the sun.
Oh, that's right. perineal sunning is what they call that.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not actually sunning your asshole. You're sunning the your scrundle sack, your undercarriage.
Chakra.
Yes. And I see this on Instagram a lot too. These people doing this. It's just gotta be a joke. You're really putting sun in your asshole? Are you really putting sun in your asshole?
Are.
Yes, I know. Okay. You're not gonna remember this because of course you probably didn't watch this. Do you remember 16 and Pregnant, the show?
No, I didn't watch that.
I did. Go
I know
figure.
You did.
If it's bad, I watched it.
It's
the
bad,
worse it
I
is,
watched.
The more I watched. And 16 and Pregnant.
I remember we were working together, and that was out. You were like, did you see the latest episode of 16 and Pregnant?
I
was like,
it.
No. I refuse to watch that show.
I thought it was high-class entertainment, highbrow entertainment. And don't ask me why, but I got into it, and now they're still doing 16 and Pregnant with the original cast members. So we've all kind of grown up together in some sense. I don't know when it came out, but, you know, now they're in their 30s and you know, they have kids, multiple kids. Some of those couples are still together. But the breakout train wreck of the show had to have been Farrah Abrams. Farrah Abrams.
I remember that name.
Okay. Because we also talked about this when I was doing the scam call. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because Farrah Abrams at that time had done a series of pornography videos for Vivid Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the whole world had their eyes on Farrah Abrams because she had this video where she did some highly explicit scenes with this guy. And then she claimed that she first tried to claim that she had sex and he videotaped her without her knowing. But then it came out that no, it was actually on set and they were all doing it together. So Farrah is a very interesting character. She's kind of a train wreck of a human being, in my opinion. She had a daughter from a guy who passed away, I think in a motorcycle accident or a car accident. So she raised him as a single teenage mother with her mom and her dad by her side. And then her and her mom had a falling out. It's a terrible, tragic, weird, lengthy, long story. But I had largely forgotten about Farrah. She hasn't been on that show in a long time. I haven't watched that show in a long time until my Instagram algorithm popped up Farrah Abrams. And, you know, there is this, I see a lot of conversation about how 20-somethings and early 30-somethings are getting the impression that they are aging much faster than other generations of people. So they are taking to plastic surgery much, much early. Plastic surgery, fillers,
yes,
Botox. They're taking to this much earlier, like 19 years old getting Botox,
mm-hmm.
21 years old getting Botox. I am not here to judge whether or not you get Botox. That is completely a decision to make on your own. If you feel better about it, great. But there's some kind of weird fascination, like collective fascination with filling your face full mm-hmm. of fillers and Botox because you think you're getting old fast. And to me, it just looks like you're a young person who's got all the wonderful things I wish I had. I wish I had those things. Farrah, I believe, started doing plastic surgery very early also. As a matter of fact, I think some of that is documented way back when she was on the show, when she was 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. Boob job, you know, Botox, all that mm-hmm. other stuff. It has not aged well, and I'm not here to talk about, like, Farrah's a beautiful woman, but all of that filler and the plastic surgery, it looks a little disturbing to me. Do you know what
I'm saying? Yeah.
Like the very big lips. She's got the eyebrows that are tattooed on. So she's got those eyebrows. What is up with the fucking eyebrows that are an inch big?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Would you do that?
No.
Would you do eyebrow tattooing?
Mm-mm.
No. And it's a tattoo, so it stays forever, right?
Yeah.
So you can't ever get rid of it. Why would you make your eyebrows so very big? That seems a little insane to me. Now, listen, there could be dysmorphia. There could be all kind of reasons why someone thinks that looks good, but maybe it doesn't. But it was shocking to me to see her face after so many years of not seeing her face. Shocking.
Well, that's when the big difference, when you haven't seen him in a few years, and then you see him.
Yeah. Like how plumped up everything is, and then like kind of moving around. So here's my point. There's a lot of videos out there now, a lot of content from people who started this very young, and now they're in their 40s and 50s, and they are bravely pointing out, don't do it. Look at me and don't do it. A lot of women out there bravely sharing their stories, saying plastic surgery and fillers and Botox and all this stuff ruined my life. It made me sick and it made me look like a monster. And I just want to share with you that maybe it's not all it's cracked up to be. Now, again, I think everything in moderation, you know, cool, whatever. But I just like.
Well, some people, I think, you know, get addicted to it. And then they see the slightest little wrinkle or the slightest deflating of the lips or whatever. Yeah, I think it definitely puts you in a different perspective. I mean, everybody's not going to be perfect forever.
No one's going to be perfect
and
forever.
And it looks weird that you're trying to look like that.
18 to 25 are your God-given fucking awesome years as far as your body and your skin are concerned. Like, you got it all. You got all the tightness. You got all the wonderful, all the shininess, all the glow. Leave it alone. Wait until you're like 35 and then make that decision. Yeah. And listen, we have friends and people that we Botox fillers, all that stuff. But I think they do it in moderation. Yes. I don't think it's like crazy. But that just, as a dad of kids in general, that makes me concerned. Like, are they going to come to me at 17 years old and say, I want fillers for my birthday?
They might.
Oh, God, Chrissy. Why couldn't I have puppies as children? You know what I'm saying? Why couldn't have Astrid birthed like a baby elephant or something? Like something that wouldn't come to me and ask me for a car and make a Swiftie out of them? We were just talking to Mo Welsh,
yes.
And she was sharing that her daughter is a Swiftie, has to watch the Eras Tour every night before she goes to bed. And you know, Mo's like, oh my God, you know, again? And I feel for this because I'm right there with them.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. I have Swifties that are under the age of 6. They know every word. They watch the movies. And listen, Taylor Swift, great. Wonderful role model for a 4-year-old, right? She's a lovely human being, sings nice songs. A lot of people cheer for her. And rather tame as far as, you know, the music is concerned. It's not some like crazy lyrics or anything like that. And I think to myself, wow, this is going to turn monstrous by the time we're 13 years old. 13 years old, you're going to want a Corvette. You're going to be dating the bad boy in high school. You're going to want to date some 20-year-old because that's cool. You're going to want an Instagram account. And fillers! Fillers! At 18 years old, fillers? Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, makes me nervous, Chrissy.
Well, you're going to have to just roll with the flow.
No! I am turning into such an old man as a father. I'm not that old, but I'm turning it into an old man as the father of mainly daughters. Like my
the majority of your brood.
The majority of my brood. I'm getting gray hair every day from something they say or do that is the cutest fucking thing in the world, but it indicates so much trouble in the future.
Well, they are your daughters.
Yeah, they are my daughters. That's right. And one of my daughters is like a perfect combination of me and Astrid, spicy like a Venezuelan and completely a talker. She can talk her way in and out of anything like me. And I'm like, oh my God, we're fucked.
They're going to have the show that has documented all of the things that you've done.
That's true.
That they can reference.
They would have heard about this from friends or family anyway.
True.
Friends or family would have shared the stories. They're too good not to share. I see Farrah and I remember back in the show when there was talk of plastic surgery at such a young age. And now I'm like, oh my God, please don't let me have to deal with that. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it's their bodies. They can do what they want with it, right? When they turn 18 years old, they can do what they want with it. But it just stresses me out a little bit.
I know.
I'm like, God, don't.
Just enjoy the time now.
I know.
Don't stress about it before you have to.
Little people, little problems. Big people, big problems. That's what they say.
Oh, is that a new show?
What's
on
that?
TLC?
Yeah, Little People, Big Problems. That's what that show should be called. You know, a little update here on Seven Little Johnstons. Seven Little Johnstons, I think I told you that one of the daughters got pregnant from her longtime boyfriend. And they waited 6 months, 5 months, 6 months into the pregnancy to tell their parents. Which is insane to think about.
Yeah.
Because they were so afraid of the reaction of the parents. And supposedly they were broken up when she got pregnant. So surprise, surprise, surprise. I'm back with my boyfriend. Surprise. I've been pregnant for six months
pregnant. Yes.
It's kind of insane. And you know, for a little person, apparently, I know this only from the show. Apparently giving birth, and this makes sense, can be a life-threatening situation for a little person. So it's really important to get like good doctors right off the get, right? You got to make sure that everything's okay and that the baby's growing. Now, thankfully, I think the baby is just fine. According to the show, the baby is just fine and everything's okay. But can you imagine waiting 6 months to tell your parents? And she's like, she's 21 years old. So she can
do what she wants.
But they're so involved in all the kids' lives. To be that involved and not know you're pregnant, that would be a real kick in the potatoes. If like one of my kids came to me and said, I got someone pregnant, she's 6.5 months along, or I'm pregnant, I'm 6.5 months along, I would be like, what? What? What?
I know.
You're not living here. Don't bring that kid around here.
I just raised you.
That's right. You just got out of the house. I don't want you back in the house. No, you're not getting Botox for your birthday, so stop asking. It's Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the girl who's pregnant.
Oh, okay.
All right. There you go.
And they were trying to figure out, too, like, what... If it was going to be a little person.
A little person or a normal size. Yes. A normie. A normie, as they call it.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a normie.
And it's going to be a normie.
It's going to be a normie. So, congratulations. I think it's Elizabeth and Bryce are their names. Congratulations. I know they've already
had... Best to you.
I know they've already had the baby. So,
oh, like, in you keep real up life. With it.
Well... I found out about this at the beginning of the season because I got served up a reel on Instagram that completely, you know, spoiler alert, she had a baby. And I was like, what?
Oh, okay.
That's crazy. And she had it with her longtime boyfriend. So, well, whatever. Good for them. God bless. On your way. They live here in Georgia, too.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They live in, like, the south part of Georgia.
Okay.
Like, south part of Atlanta. Way south of Atlanta. The like part where, of Atlanta. Yeah.
Like where, what's her name? From 90 Day Fiancé. Angela?
Angela. 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 I thought you were about to say Marjorie Taylor Greene.
No, she's north.
Oh, she's north?
Yeah,
oh,
she's north.
I don't
north
know where she is. I don't know. My heart always aches a little bit.
I know.
When I remember that she is from Georgia.
I know.
Yeah, not quite as far as Angela, somewhere in between. But anyway, now you guys are bored, so here we go. September 25th on a Wednesday, September 26th on a Thursday, we're going to be in Orlando and then Tampa. If you would like to join us, we're going to give information about how to buy those tickets very soon. So keep an eye out. Some people are asking, like, I can't find the tickets anywhere. They're not available yet. We'll let you know when they are. I'm just really pre-prepping
this.
Yeah,
you are.
I'm laying the groundwork for as many people to hear this as possible. We're going to have a great time, and we wish that you would come. And if you're going to come, let us know. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. We'd love to hear from you. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We take them all at that phone number via text or via voicemail. Do yourself a favor. Get a free TCB sticker. Why not? Astrid will send you one. If you go to the website, tcbpodcast.com, hit the contact us button, and then go to the drop-down menu that says, I want my free sticker. Send us your physical address. We'll send you a sticker. No muss, no fuss. It's on us. I just made that up. No fuss, no muss. It's on us. Also, please do us a favor. At The Commercial Break on Instagram and youtube.com/The Commercial Break. All right, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say.
Goodbye.
Get ass.